On this election day, you are tuned in to the right radio station, the right radio program at the right time. I've got some words of wisdom and a word of warning.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, it's election day. And excitement is in the air, anticipation is in the air, trepidation is in the air, division is in the air, whole lot of emotions going on. I want to remind you that regardless of the outcome of the election, Jesus remains Lord. Regardless of the outcome of the election, God is not fazed. His kingdom will advance. But yes, this is an important election, and we do have wisdom from the Lord. Welcome to the Line of Fire broadcast. Thanks so much for joining us. And to all of our friends, WMCA, blanketing Greater New York, welcome back. We know you've had quite a challenging week plus with power out and with the main transmitter destroyed, and we're thrilled to have you back on the air. So all of our friends listening again in Greater New York, welcome back to the Line of Fire. We have missed you. And to all those listening now for the first time in some days who are still in the trauma of the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy, we continue to stand together with you. Okay, here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. I published an article, wrote it with a strong burden last night. It's been published on townhall.com early this morning. A little bit after that, went up on charismanews.com, the opinion section. It's called A Warning to Moral Conservatives. A Warning to Moral Conservatives. I want to talk to you about that. And I want to talk through what our reaction should be, what our mindset should be if Mitt Romney emerges as president. If I was guessing, I would say that he will win handily in the Electoral College. It just seems that way to me for a number of reasons. I've read others who've had similar analysis. I mean, people really in the know. I'm not in the know in terms of all of the ins and outs of polling and electoral issues and state by state and precinct by precinct. Just a perspective I have. However, I could be entirely wrong on that. But we're going to talk through what our attitude, mentality, mindset should be if Mitt Romney is our next president, what our mentality, what our mindset should be if President Obama is reelected. And then I want to talk to you about revolution, friends. It's what I live and breathe, Jesus revolution, not a revolution of violence, not a revolution of hatred, not a revolution of intimidation, not a revolution of anger, but a Jesus revolution, where we are so transformed by the gospel, where we are so transformed by our relationship with God, where we are so transformed by the Word of God and the Spirit of God that we go and transform our world, that we are so caught up with Jesus that being a disciple is just our daily life breath, that being a disciple and making disciples is who we are and what our heart beats to do. And because of that, we become the radical counterculture people. We become the world changers. I was just looking at a book of quotes by Dr. Billy Graham, and some of the things he said about America. You can put a public school and university in the middle of every block of every city in America, but you'll never keep America from rotting morally by mere intellectual education. He said, I believe America's gone a long way down the wrong road. If we ever needed God's help, it is now. Yes, the fact is America needs God like never before. And we are the people of God who know God and can make him known. The revolution has to start with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Just got news that our friends at WMCA in Greater New York, we seem to be on the air for a few seconds and then off again for some maintenance. It's been a massive project. I've been getting emails about everything going on, and just reminds me of the struggles that many Americans are having right now in the aftermath of the storm. Okay, 866-34-TRUTH. Remember, you can always go to askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire, as long as you've got a computer or a smartphone or a tablet, and you can listen live online. Of course, there's no cost in doing that. I want to lay out a couple of scenarios for you. And then any comment you have about the elections that you want to bounce off of me, any question you have, I'm glad to interact. I've got a list of 6 or 7 items and a whole bunch of different quotes that I want to share with you today that'll help us keep our right perspective. We're not going to ignore the elections. They're important. I believe that you can look at major events in American history and see how a good president or a bad president affected those things. Certainly when you look at Israelite history, yes, that was a theocracy. Yes, there was a king, different than a president with a democracy. Nonetheless, you can look at Israelite history. When you read Kings and Chronicles, you read primarily what the kings did. And as the kings went, the nation went. Certainly, some of the attitudes in America that have shifted even more radically in the direction of gay activism and confusion over gender have been aided and abetted by our president, for whom we still pray. If these are his last days in office, we pray for him. If he's reelected, all the more do we pray. But beyond that, as I've been saying day in, day out for weeks, months, years, the greatest issue is not White House or Congress or Supreme Court. The greatest issue is the state of the body, the state of the church. And all things are possible with God. God can do amazing things through a group of people wholly dedicated to Him. God can do amazing things through people who say, enough is enough with the status quo. Not out of rebellion or carnal anger, but out of a burning heart for Jesus. Okay, before I go to the phones, if Mitt Romney wins, that will mean that there were many conservatives, moral conservatives, who voted for him. Yes, it would be a verdict against President Obama, just like many people that voted for Obama were not happy with the Bush administration and felt if John McCain was elected, it would be a continuation of the Bush administration. So when you have an incumbent that's voted out or the party that was in office is voted out, it's a verdict. It's a statement that we are not happy with what they've done. But there has been a real strong drive to get out the vote for Mitt Romney from many conservative circles, conservative evangelical circles, despite his Mormonism and despite his unclear track record in terms of exactly where he stands on some of the key issues or exactly how he would govern. I know what he's saying now, which is excellent in many ways, and I know what the Republican Party platform says in these issues, which is excellent in many ways. But if he's elected, one of the large forces that will have gotten him in is evangelicals, in particular white evangelicals. And what we must do as moral conservatives, or for as evangelicals who voted for him, or conservative Catholics or others who voted for him, is we must not take our foot off the pedal. As I said in my article on townhall.com and elsewhere, a warning to moral conservatives, that if Mitt Romney is our next president, we cannot let up in our advocacy for life and family. We cannot relax or shift into neutral as if some great victory has already been won. To do so would be to make a fatal mistake, and 4 years from now, we'll be kicking ourselves again, vowing once more not to sell our souls to the Republican Party, claiming that this time we've learned our lesson, only to repeat the cycle 4 years hence. In other words, what we often do is we get out the vote for a candidate that holds to our conservative moral values, and then once we do and the candidate is elected, my expectation, I voted for Mitt Romney today, My expectation would be, though, my hope is going to be different, but my expectation would be that he is going to put his tremendous emphasis on fixing the economy, that he'll work hard for a bipartisan base, that he'll seek to govern as a statesman who unites the country, and that he'll avoid, quote, divisive issues. And it wouldn't surprise me one bit if some of his first appointees were anything but moral conservatives. So I'm not putting my hope in him to bring about change. I felt it was right to vote for him for a number of reasons. My hope is that he would govern righteously. My expectation is I'm not counting on it. So if he is our next president, then my attitude will be all the more do we continue to push forward with the things that God has burdened us with. They're not the only things. The economy is important. The economy has moral implications. And uniting the country, that's important, and that has moral implications. But it's beyond that, friends. The issues so critical to us in terms of life and family, issues so critical to us in terms of morality, as well as standing with Israel. We cannot look to the White House or wait for the White House to do this. We must continue to go about our business, encourage President Romney, if he is elected, to do the right thing, hold him accountable if he doesn't, but we've got to do what we're supposed to do. Now, if Barack Obama is reelected, obviously there will be Christians who voted for him. There will be even some evangelicals, primarily black evangelicals, that would have voted for him. Yes, there are historic divisions over black and white votes between Republicans and Democrats. We understand that. Not across the board, but broad outlines can be made based on race and background. I'm not being critical towards whites or blacks. I'm just making a statement. That being said, my assumption would be, I pray that I'm wrong. I pray that Barack Obama, if he was reelected, would be a righteous, godly man who would have a change of heart and would help change America. But my expectation would be that he will do worse in the next 4 years than in the first four in terms of radical pro-abortion, radical gay activism, even hostility towards Israel. And our trap as moral conservatives would be to spend all our time criticizing him and attacking him. Rather, my mentality would be, I'll be aware of what's happening in the White House and I would pray for the president, but I basically have to think the same way I would think if I was living in Rome in the days of Nero. I'm not comparing him to Nero. I'm simply saying that I would not be looking to the government. I'd say, okay, all out, flat out, we need a Jesus revolution. That's it. And if we did not stand, we would quickly be in a closet, door shut, unable to stand. It'd be that critical. That would be my expectation. The question is, well, why not just have a revolution? Why not just take a stand? Why not say, you know, whoever's elected is still quite radically different from the model of Jesus and the calling of Scripture. So let's start living this thing out. Pray for our government. Let's start living this thing out. All right, I got a lot more to say. 866-34-TRUTH. Susan in Seattle, Washington, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, Dr. Brown, I saw President Obama cozying up with one of the Russian leaders, who really is our enemy. And my question is actually a two-part question. Second Peter clearly says that the elements of this world and this universe are going to melt and be completely destroyed, burned up.
Yep.
And I have consistently heard you tell your listeners that this is just strictly a renovating fire, and I'm wondering how you could come up with that based on what Second Peter says, which is the first part of my question. And second part is, when this literally comes to pass in the Scriptures where the elements of the universe and of this world are completely melted and destroyed, are you going to be angry with God, as many of your listeners are going to be tempted to be based on what you've told them?
Oh, first thing, to be perfectly honest with you, Susan, I think you're making a mountain out of a molehill, to be really candid. And the fact is, if you read 10 different translations and dig into the Greek, you're not going to get a definite view that everything is going to be recreated out of nothing. And I'm hardly alone in interpreting this to say that it's going to be a radical fire that purges everything. But Susan, if it's all burned up completely, 100%, 1,000,000,000%, and everything recreated, wonderful. I'm just trying to be faithful to the scriptures. Elsewhere, they do not speak of a complete recreation, but radical changes. So I'm not sure why you are making such a big issue out of that. Whatever God does is going to be wonderful. Let him recreate everything. Let him burn it all up with fire and recreate it in the eternal age. And I want to also honestly say, Susan, I don't think at that point people are going to be remembering what you said or what I said in the presence of God at that time, just to be candid with you. All right, thanks for the call. We'll be back.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much, friends, for joining us on this election day. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Hey, let me mention something to you, and then I want to raise a series of questions for you. All right, so you got your thinking hats on. You're thinking along with me. We may have some different perspectives on certain issues and great harmony on others, or you may be someone who just happened to turn on the radio and I'm fascinating you because I actually believe in God and the Bible and you didn't know such people existed anymore. But I'm glad you're listening. I want you to think some things through with me, especially if you are a follower of Jesus. But first, let me mention this to you, and jot this number down, please. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Many tens of thousands have read my book, Revolution, The Call to Holy War, and the Jesus Manifesto, A Call to Revolution. Jesus Manifesto is little red mini book, about 5,000 words long, Revolution, about 330 pages, urgently important messages, the type of books you read, and they make a mark on you for a lifetime. And I know that many tens of thousands have read these, but that means millions haven't. The two of them postage paid would normally be $20, but today, because of this tremendous burden that I have to see moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, you can get the two of them, the book and the mini book, for $10 postage paid. If you can help with an additional gift, that would really be great. Maybe the Lord would lay it on your heart to become a monthly supporter, a torchbearer, to stand together with us in Jesus' revolution. But I want to encourage every one of you, most everyone can spare $10. 1-800-278-9978. And you'll get the full-length book, Revolution, The Call to Holy War, 330 pages, and the Jesus Manifesto, together, sent to you. Again, we'll pay the postage. That's how much I want to get these into your hands. So take advantage of this. I don't think we've ever offered these two together at this low a price. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Okay, my questions for you. Are you ready? If you consider yourself a follower of Jesus, if you take his words seriously, if you take the Bible seriously, are we God's prophetic voice in the society today? Or are the followers of Jesus God's prophetic voice in the society today? Yes or no? In other words, is it that God once raised up people like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Elijah, and they were prophets to the nation? Of course, they were also prophets to the nations, not just to Israel, but to the nations. Is it that God is still raising up people like that? Or is it that God is speaking through us, his people who know him, and that we are called to be a prophetic voice to the society? We are called to be, in the words of Martin Luther King, the conscience of the society. First question, are we God's prophetic voice? No, I don't mean, Are we able to predict every detail of what's about to happen and get up before any speech and say, thus saith the Lord? And then I'm supposed to start the radio show every day with saying, thus saith the Lord, and end it by saying, the Lord has spoken. No, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that you and I are God's voice to society. Do you believe that? That we are, through the Word, through the Spirit, to get the heart and mind of God and to declare that to the society, be it the message of God's love or be it the warning of God's wrath or what God is saying to the society at a given time. Were there prophetic voices during the time of slavery in America? Were there church leaders who functioned as such prophetic voices? Okay, another question. Since we have been ordained to good works, according to the scriptures, since we have been ordained to a pattern of good works, read Ephesians 2, which makes it clear that we were created for good works in Jesus. James, Jacob, the second chapter, where we demonstrate our faith by our works, and many other passages. Just read through Titus and notice how many times it mentions good works and how Jesus speaks about our good deeds. What should those look like? What should our good deeds look like? What should our works of righteousness look like in the society? One more question. I've got more. One more question. Is the Sermon on the Mount the radical counterculture manifesto of Jesus? You see where I'm going with these questions. I'm talking about thinking as Jesus revolutionaries called to bring change to this world through the gospel, through our lifestyles. The gospel is holistic. It is not simply a message of how to get to heaven. It is a message of how to live for God here in this world. Is the Sermon on the Mount a counterculture manifesto from Jesus himself that gives the pattern of how we are to live in this world and thus go against the grain? 866-34-TRUTH. Back to the phones. Thomas in Providence, Rhode Island. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How you doing, Dr. Brown?
Doing very well, thanks.
I just want to say, you know, I've been listening to you for a while, and I really enjoyed the show, Think It Through, and those types of things. But I have to say, you know, in the past, I don't know how long, I lost a tremendous amount of respect, you know, for not just you, but a lot of people in your position, you know, who profess to be Christian leaders. I mean, this is the first time, if Mitt Romney is elected, that an ordained minister, you know, would be elected to the White House in the history of this country. And the ironic thing about it is that it will be...
You're 100% sure of that.
Well, in modern times, let me say that I heard you have a little bit of a debate with a guy not too long ago, and you compared, you know, when John F. Kennedy was running, and you know, obviously Barack Obama, you know, the question was asked if John F. Kennedy would be listening to the Pope or so on and so forth. But Mitt Romney is not someone, when he goes to church, he sits in a pew. He's a pastor. He's a bishop. When he ran for governor in Massachusetts, he was the bishop of that area.
That's why I've had people done whole shows with people who've come on the air and said why we can't vote for Mitt Romney. I've done whole shows to air that point of view.
Not so much why we can't vote for Mitt Romney. I mean, my point being is that I hear a lot of spin, and I hear a lot of metaphors being used and scripture being twisted, you know, to make our president out to be, you know, some crazy. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous.
Thomas, hang on. I'm happy to have a disagreement with you. And in fact, I want you to stay right there. I want you to stay right there, and we'll continue talking on the other side of the break. All right. So I'm going to give you some extra time to discuss this with me. Hey, reminder to our friends listening on WAVA, you can get the whole first hour from 5 to 6 on WAVA AM. So whatever you miss in the coming minutes, you can tune in and listen. But Thomas, I want you to stay with me. I want you to first give me an example of when I have twisted scripture regarding Mitt Romney or tried to make him something other than he is. And then I want to ask if you would have voted for certain other people in our history. All right? Stay with me.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, yeah, we're talking about the elections today on The Line of Fire, and as always, trying to get a Jesus perspective on them. I said at the end of the broadcast yesterday, when you look at Scripture, you don't see Republican or Democrat. You see Kingdom of God, Kingdom of Satan. You see people who know the Lord and people who are people of the world. That's where you see the division. So we need to unite as God's people. That must transcend our denominational affiliation if we have one. That must transcend our political affiliation if we have one. That must transcend our race, our ethnicity. And ultimately, we must find the principles and ways and words of Jesus higher than anything else. They govern our lives. Based on those words, we are changed and we go out as world changers. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. So, Thomas, I'm happy to have a conversation with you, and I appreciate you being candid with your concerns. Please tell me, though, where or when I have ever, quote, twisted Scripture to make Mitt Romney into something other than he is.
Well, first off, let me go to the back end of that question, because I personally believe that the only reason why Mitt Romney is even running for president is to bring legitimacy and acceptance to this Mormon cult. But to answer your question,
you just abused the words of Jesus there, though, because Jesus told us not to make judgment without fact, and you don't have fact for that.
Now, come on, Dr. Brown, are you gonna play that particular game?
I'm gonna hold you to the word, sir. I'm gonna hold you to the word. That would be like me saying the only reason you're calling is because you want your voice to be heard. Because you want to become famous. In other words, it's wrong to make those judgments.
I will tell you what my evidence is. Now, I know that you know something about the Mormon religion. And you know that it's Mormon, it's prophetic. I mean, you know that what they particularly teach is that the United States, for them, is the new Israel. Salt Lake, Utah is the new Jerusalem. And you know about the Mormon religion. But let me just answer the question that you asked. You know, previous, it's not just you. Are you there?
I'm here.
It's not just you, but it's Christian stations, you know, all over the regions. And what they're doing is basically talking about the United States as if the United States is the church. You understand what I mean? And that our job is to somehow remake the world. That is not the job of the Christian. Our job is to call people.
Thomas, hang on. I don't want you to disqualify yourself because I'm trying to give you a shot. I'm not trying to make you look bad. I'm trying to have a conversation with you.
Sure.
Okay? You have no evidence that the main reason.
I'm going to get hung up on. I'm sorry.
Well, hey, what I actually did is I kept you on over the break mark, which I almost never done.
I'm just being nervous to try to get all my points because I. You know, at times when I try to talk with who's supposed to be my brothers and I try to have, you know, just a general conversation, you know, I get talked over and I get hung up on.
But
can I give you a
helpful guideline? When you're on a radio program, okay, first, sometimes we may have all the phone lines lit up and we're trying to get a lot of different people. That's one thing. The other thing is if you talk over the host, it makes for bad radio, and therefore, if I try to get a point in, it's important that you wait. This way we can have a discussion. So let's go back to this. What evidence do you have, sir, that Mitt Romney is running for president so as to promote Mormonism? That's the only reason he's doing that.
His primary reason.
What evidence do you have?
All right. My evidence is, and it's not just to promote Mormonism, it's not to promote it, but to bring it to legitimate and acceptance. And the evidence I have for that is what is taught in the Mormon religion, the Book of Mormon, their doctrines, all of
it. All right, well, tell you
that's
what, give
the
me
evidence that I have.
I'm going to keep you on through one more break, Thomas, okay? And I just need you to quote me chapter and verse. So you got 2 minutes to look some things up. All right? I just want to go by evidence. And I'm not a defender of Mitt Romney.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I find it very interesting as I'm continuing my conversation with Thomas in Providence, Rhode Island today, going through two breaks, which is a unique thing. Don't often do that. But what I find interesting is the criticism coming my way, and I don't mind criticism. I don't expect everyone to agree with everything I'm saying, and the same thing that gets one listener to lose respect for me gets another listener to gain respect for me. So I'm not playing a game with polls and whatever, just trying to honor the Lord and do what's right and be faithful to the word and my convictions and always be listening and learning. But I find it interesting that criticism is coming my way concerning Mitt Romney when, number one, I read an article today saying if many of the pundits are right and Mitt Romney is our next president, then I have a warning to moral conservatives, all right? I've written previous articles called Mitt Romney is not the answer, and I have said repeatedly that the big issue is the state of the church and our adherence to the gospel in life and in practice more than who's in the White House. And yet, because I do not condemn voting for a Mormon, or because I do not say that I will withhold the vote from Mitt Romney because he's a Mormon, that I come under criticism. That's an interesting thing to me. Anyway, Thomas, can you give me chapter and verse that would make me understand that the primary reason that Mitt Romney is running for president is to legitimize Mormonism?
Well, first, let me say, I'm not an apologist, I want you to understand, for Barack Obama, and that's not why I called. Right.
Oh, I didn't even assume. I would have been judging you negatively if I assumed that you voted.
That impression. I don't want.
Oh no, no, I didn't.
Get that impression.
Didn't dawn on me.
I don't have, you know, the Doctrine of Covenants in the Book of Mormon before me. Okay, but what I can say is that when I hear, for example, right, I've never heard the president out and out say that he's against Israel. He's going to destroy Israel. Or, you know, Israel's going to, and if we know our Bible, we know Israel's not going anywhere because God is in control of all of that. But what I hear a lot of people who profess to be Christians take and use so-called actions of the president and try to interpret it in a way as if he is going to, you know, be detrimental to Israel.
He has been already.
Okay.
That's happened.
Well, I mean,
he has mistreated and dishonored the prime minister. There's a reason that about 85% of Israeli Americans who voted for Mitt Romney as opposed to Barack Obama. On the ground there's grave concern. But that's a side issue. When you have a president, Thomas, who is the most radical pro-baby-killing president in the nation's history. If he was the world's greatest economist and great on security, I still couldn't vote for him.
But Dr. Brown, you will say things like that, right?
Yeah.
And to say that, you know, he's the most, you know, he's the worst baby killer, right? And I'm trying to be reasonable, and I'm trying to talk about, you know, what is inside this Mormon cult, and I'm trying to get that out, and you're talking to me about, you know, well, show me the chapter and verse, show me the evidence, and show me
this. Thomas, number one, you brought up Barack Obama. I did not, okay? And I will not allow, Thomas, trying to help you. Remember, you got to listen. I'm trying to help you. All right, you are not just someone calling on the radio. You're a human being and a follower of Jesus who has a life to live outside of calling in on the radio. And because I can by nature be argumentative or contentious, and I've had to develop a Christ-like attitude to dialogue over many, many years. I want to help you do the same, Thomas. All right? So just sit back. Let me speak into your life for a minute. if you called to say Mormonism is a cult with all kinds of false and dangerous beliefs, and you wanted to say in your mind you don't see how any Christian could vote for Mitt Romney, and you question how I could, I don't mind that. I have no issue with that. I've said over and over and over and again that if you cannot vote for Mitt Romney because he's a Mormon, I respect that. But that was not my major issue. Look, we have had presidents who've been Unitarians, like Taft. I was just looking at a quote from President Taft, who said, if the American electorate is so narrow as not to elect a Unitarian, well and good, I can stand it. So if you said I couldn't vote for him because he's a Mormon, fine. And Dr. Brown, I can't respect you for voting for him because he's a Mormon, fine. If you're going to tell me that the main reason he's running for president is to legitimize Mormonism, you're going to have to come up with something more than an opinion, all right? Feel free to write to us through the website, askdrbrown.org. Feel free to write to us and send us whatever data you have to verify that. That's fine. I brought a guest on to spend a whole hour talking about why Christians should not vote for Romney. In fact, we went 2 hours, if I'm correct. We kept him on. So I don't have a problem with someone saying that. The question is when you're making empty statements and then you really disqualify yourself though when you bring up President Obama. I did not take your call to have any connection to Barack Obama whatsoever. None whatsoever. But sir, he has been the champion of Planned Parenthood. His very first days in office made statements and took action on behalf of abortion in America. Three times, sir. Three times he vetoed the Partial Birth Abortion Act. You know what that means? A baby is aborted, but the abortion is not successful, and the baby survives the abortion. The baby is laying there on a bed in the hospital, having survived an abortion, needing immediate medical care. The Partial Birth Abortion Act said that you must give that child care. Three times Mr. Obama vetoed that before he was president, and he has never reversed his position. Three times. That is horrific. That is an abomination in the sight of God, sir. That's not my opinion. That's not, I think he's thinking this. That's what he did, and he made it clear that the woman's right to abortion was more important. So he killed a baby outside of the womb. Look into it. Look into it, all right? One more thing. When the president of the United States, with the incredible influence that he has, a man that I prayed for would be the greatest president in America's history, and I would have been thrilled to see him go down in history as one of the greatest leaders we ever had because of the righteousness and godliness by which he led. When he uses the teachings of Jesus to legitimize a man having sex with a man under the guise of marriage and says that's marriage and that relationship is God blessed and I get that from the teachings and example of Jesus, that's abominable. That's abominable. And I want to say plainly that if it was Mitt Romney that made those statements, he would not have my vote. And the vote that he gets from me is with reservation and concern. So Thomas, step back. And perhaps the Lord wants to say some things to you and help you process these things. For those listening, I did not hang up on Thomas. He's been on hold so he can hear every word that I'm saying. But when you talk over me too many times, I have to just say, all right, you're going to listen. So I'm taking some time with you out of love. And because I have grown through the years by people speaking correctively to me, I do the same for you. Let me say again. I'm not defending Mormonism, and I've got no issue with a Christian saying I can't vote for Barack Obama because of his record, and I can't vote for Mitt Romney because he's a Mormon. I've got no issue with that, and I've said that for months. My issue is with unequal weights and balances, friend, and my issue is with making statements that can't be substantiated. Pray about it. I know you're pretty upset right now, probably can't get a word back in. Pray about it. All right? Thank you. 866-34-TRUTH. Steve in the Hamptons on Long Island. Hey, Steve, is WLIX back up and running out there?
We sure are, and God's blessing on us for that and on you for being on the air and taking my call. I appreciate it very much.
And how are you doing with aftermath of Hurricane Sandy?
You know, we have the gas lines. We have some people that were without power until just the other day. Other people, really, there was no evidence of anything other than some downed trees. So it's really been a mixed effect here, Dr. Brown.
Wow, got it. Yeah, I think a lot of the island was like that. So yes, your answer to my question about the church being a voice.
Well, my answer is yes, we must be. And my answer is, though, that as a relatively new Christian in my walk with the Lord, I recognize how challenging it is to follow him, and that the scripture guides me, and so does my church. And therefore, my answer is that as humans, as frail humans, we're frequently caught in a position of resorting to our old ways.
Yep. Hey, stay right there. Stay right there. We'll continue this conversation on the other side of the break. Welcome back, all of our WLIX listeners.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back once more to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. Back to Steve in the Hamptons on Long Island. So you were saying that we are called to be a voice as followers of Jesus. We are called to be God's voice to society. But you're saying that often we revert to our old ways. That's when we ran out of time. So to end the thought that you were making, Steve, go ahead.
Well, simply that the challenge we must remember is that that our actions will be the loudest voice for the sake of the kingdom. And this is my experience, is that as I see the challenges in certain churches and in some of my brothers and sisters and myself, that I have to remember that my biggest voice to the non-believer or the unbeliever or the person that's not yet seen an opportunity to take Jesus as his personal Savior, it's my actions that I have to remember are the biggest voice.
Right. And if our lives do not line up with our words, it doesn't just go nowhere. It actually does more harm than good. It actually brings reproach to the name of Jesus. It brings reproach to the gospel, and it makes our faith mocked. And the interesting thing, Steve, is that as much as the world either mocks the church or ignores the church, it does expect followers of Jesus to do differently. It does expect us to be active, say, with helping the poor and the needy and so on. So it's absolutely our words must line up with our works, our actions. And when people see a different life that we're living, both in the quality of our personal lives, the quality of our families, and the quality of our compassion and our good works, they will recognize that there's something to this Jesus faith. Hey, Steve, thanks for calling. 866-34-TRUTH. Questions I asked a little while back in the broadcast. What do our good works look like? In other words, if we're supposed to be revolutionaries, what we're called to a pattern of good works, what do those works look like? Don't those works, on the heels of what Steve said, don't those works bring societal transformation? Don't those works make an impact on the poor and the needy and the hurting? Don't those works stand for righteousness, and are not they part of a Jesus revolutionary movement? 866-34-TRUTH. Donna in Boston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, this is Donna.
Yes.
Hi. So, I'm sorry. I just wanted to piggyback on the caller from Rhode Island.
Yes.
And his conversation included that he didn't know if Obama was anti-Israel. And I was very pleased with the way you answer his questions. And I have been listening for some time, and this is my first time calling in. And the election, I am just on my way to vote now, and I just want to thank you so much for all the work you've been doing. These past few years, I've been listening, and the word that God wants us to go to is to change history, to change all of the abortion and the gay rights, and that all of this just needs to end, because our church is going to be way, way behind if we continue this kind of a lifestyle.
Yeah, and Donna, thanks for being a faithful listener, and thanks for the call and the good word. Look, the bottom line is we are not trying to force our morals on the society, but we are a moral people. And let's just say an issue like human trafficking, which just about every American would say is a terrible horror. Some kid, 13 years old, gets into a dispute with her family. She runs away from home. Next thing, somebody befriends her on the city street. Before she knows it, she's sold into sex slavery. We all find that morally abhorrent and horrific. Across the board, we all feel the same. Well, followers of Jesus are on the front lines of dealing with that, because that's an issue of justice and that's an issue of compassion. So we should be the people that demonstrate God's heart in this society. So that means we're doing something about abortion and giving hope to moms to not abort their kids. It means that we're showing what God intended for family and life, and we have to. So, Donna, thanks for the call, the word of encouragement. And, in fact, I want to just share something here. I had Brad Dacus on the air with me yesterday from Pacific Justice Institute talking about this 45-year-old man who identifies as a woman, and because of the non-discrimination policy at Evergreen College in Olympia, Washington, he is allowed to use a women's locker room while high school, college girls, swim teams change in there. He's permitted to use the sauna where little girls saw him sitting through the glass and reported it to the swim coach, who reported it to the police. Listen to the police report. The police report notes that the person was sitting with her legs open, with her male genitalia showing. Yeah, that's the level of confusion in the society when we get away from male, female, and say, yeah, we recognize there are people who struggle and are confused. We want to help them with their confusion, not have this insanity imposed on the society. By the insanity, I mean the situation that I just reported. Here's another quote pulled out from an article by my friend Lori Higgins. This gender-confused man believes that requiring gender-confused men who are technically men to use locker rooms that can correspond to their technical sex is analogous to requiring blacks and whites to use separate bathrooms in 1959. There's an article or video where someone makes this statement and says, well, this man who identifies as a woman is still physically a man and wants to use the girl's locker room and be around females while he is taking a shower and naked and in the sauna, etc. That to say that he can't use that he should be using the men's room is like requiring blacks and whites to be separate. This is the level of moral insanity that we step into when we abandon foundations, including foundations like God created us male and female. And it is up to us, the people of God, to stand up for what is right. All right, if you are on hold, stay with me. I will get to your calls right in the beginning of the next hour. So stay with me. I want to interact with you. I'm looking at some of the subjects in front of me. I do want to interact with you. But we're talking about Jesus Revolution, and I want to get two resources in your hands. You say, okay, if you want to, well, give them away. Well, this is practically giving them away. The 330-page book, Revolution, the Call to Holy War, one of the most important books I've ever written, the 5,000-word Jesus Manifesto, to follow in the footsteps of Jesus as radical world changes, together, postage paid, just $10. So we're practically giving them away because I want to get these into your hands. That's why I'm on the air, to see us live this thing out as Jesus revolutionaries. Call to order right now, 1-800-278-9978. Those who can help with an additional gift, wonderful. That makes us able to do what we're doing. But call right now. Everyone take advantage of this. 1-800-278-9978. One more time. 1-800-278-9978. And get these two life-changing, life-impacting resources. My bottom line today, later tonight, we should have, in all probability, the final results of the election. Some will be happy, some will be upset. Focus on the fact that Jesus is Lord, and he remains unshakable. On this election day, you are tuned in to the right radio station, the right radio program at the right time. I've got some words of wisdom and a word of warning.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is so awesome to be on live radio on election day, and then know that we get to be on live radio tomorrow after the elections. This morning, got up and spoke at the chapel service at our school of ministry. After that, went home, picked up Nancy, and together we went over and voted. And I want to talk again about the elections, but in a way that is totally partisan for Jesus and the Great Commission and the revolution that he came into the world to bring about. I want to focus on our response as followers of the Lord. I've got a number of issues. I discussed some in the first hour. I want to get to a bunch more in the second hour. And I want to take your calls. Anything you want to ask me about the election, if you want to take exception to some stands I've taken, if you have questions, I'm here to interact with you today. 866-348-7884. And let me refer you to an article that is on townhall.com. You can also read it on charismanews.com by clicking on opinion there. It's in the opinion column, or again, townhall.com. I've listed both. Give me another website. Just go to my website, askdrbrown.org, click on The Line of Fire, and I listed both of the articles there. It's called A Warning to Moral Conservatives. A Warning to Moral Conservatives. It's very important reading. I'll share some of it with you more later in the broadcast. But I want to urge you not to get in the flesh during this election season. I want to urge you not to allow anyone to distract you from your relationship with the Lord. Look, when the elections are said and done, assuming it's over tonight, we don't have a lengthy wait or a recount or something like that, there are going to be some believers who are very happy, some believers who are very upset, some believers who are indifferent, but there's going to be a lot of emotion. And you may be watching news coverage on CNN and your blood's boiling. You may be watching news coverage on Fox and your blood's boiling. And the fact is, we somehow have to transcend that. Oh, I'm not saying we don't have emotion. I'm not saying we don't care. But somehow we've got to transcend getting so caught up in the results that it's as if Jesus was no longer on the throne. It's as if he was no longer Lord. It's as if the gospel had lost its power. It's as if American history was forever decided for good or bad with the next election. And no matter what the outcome of the election, that is not going to be the case. So if you find yourself getting in the flesh, let's step higher. We are people of the Spirit. We are people who operate by a higher set of principles than the world does. We are people who live in this world but are not of this world. Let us not take on the mentality of the world. And ask yourself how you would live if you lived in first century Rome, or if you lived in communist China today, or in Afghanistan. Your whole mentality would be, I can't put my trust in the government. I know that authority is ordained by God to restrain evil and to do good, but there are many godless people in authority who corrupt and abuse their power as well, and of course they're accountable to God. But to the extent that we put our emotions and trust in the government, as opposed to putting our emotions and trust in the Lord, we make a mistake. So I want to talk those things through, got some questions for reflection, and come on, let's live out this Jesus revolution, this world-changing movement that the Son of God came to bring. Back with your calls, 866-348-7884.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, those are not just an announcer's words, your voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. That's what we live for. That's what we breathe for. God's people being changed by Jesus and then going out and changing the world. 866-34-TRUTH. It is election day. Yeah, I expect that Mitt Romney will win by a sizable vote in the Electoral College. Of course, I could be totally wrong. It's not a prophetic word or pretending to be. It's just based on reading the same things you read and thinking some of the issues through. But either way, my strategy ultimately remains the same because I am not dependent on the government. Oh, yeah, the day could come when we can't even broadcast things like this on the radio, but I'm not dependent on the government to see the success of the Great Commission. Oh, yes, government can get in the way, but let me tell you what Satan or people mean for evil, God can still turn for good. That being said, we should cherish the liberties we do have and stand up for a government that gives us these liberties, but then when we have them, let's use them. 866-34-TRUTH to the phones. Stephen in Tulsa, Oklahoma, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, Dr. Brown, I could only wish I could carry on this conversation spirit to spirit, but this is flesh to flesh. I take issue with something that you said earlier, and that is we're not going to be judged by our words, but by our deeds.
When did I say that?
I think your first caller said that that she believed the Earth is going to be destroyed. Immediately, you said, "I don't think that we're going to be debating what our different positions are, what we said to each other."
What I said was, when God is either renovating the Earth by fire or recreating the Earth by fire, that whether my position was that he was going to renovate the earth by fire or recreate the earth by fire, that at that time in the future, that people were going to be remembering what our specific position was on that specific point in the midst of the awesome presence of God. And whatever he does, whether he renovates the earth by fire or whether he completely remakes it, either way is fine with me. That was my point. Jesus himself said that by our words will be justified, by our words will be condemned. I don't deny that for a split second.
Yeah.
My point was that specific ultra minor doctrinal issue will not be something we are debating or discussing at that point in history.
Okay, well, I was just thinking it's not minor as to, for example, let's get to my real question.
Please.
Four years ago, there was a debate between two professing Christians for the presidency. They went to Saddleback. This time, they didn't go to Saddleback or have a debate on a church setting. And both are professing to be Christians. In all fairness to the caller that called in about, I think he was for Obama or something, but he was talking about Romney as a Mormon.
Yeah, I took issue with him saying,
yeah,
this is in the first hour, so for our listeners now, I took issue with him saying that the only reason that Mitt Romney was running for president was to legitimize Mormonism. I said he has no evidence for that. I accepted and agreed that Mormonism is a cult and that a true Mormon is not a true Christian. I've never deviated from that for a split second. I have said that if Mr. Romney is elected, then it's a great opportunity for us to focus on what Mormons believe and to expose the error and to call them to the true gospel.
On the subject of Mormonism, as a missionary to Salt Lake, they all recognize that Adamantamonde means to a Mormon, Jesus is coming back to somewhere along a river there in the Midwest or
They believe that Jesus is coming back to Jerusalem, but that he will rule out of Jerusalem and out of Missouri.
In Missouri. They didn't have this debate because I believe that it is important what a presidential candidate believes about end times. the end times displays how they're going to act in foreign policy, all kinds of things. Therefore, I think it is very important, the words. Now, Obama...
Yeah, all right, so Stephen, yeah, just to... I did let you speak for a bit there to try to hear where you were going with it. Yeah, I believe all these things are important, and they do influence how people live and act. I do not believe that Romney's Mormonism will heavily impact the way he governs, and if it does, then all the more do we expose the error of Mormonism. I certainly see that Mr. Obama's version of Christianity has affected the way he's governed. I find that to be destructive. If Mitt Romney's faith also has a destructive effect, then we take action as citizens, and in any case, we hold him to account for promises he's made in campaigning, one of which is that he's not running as a Mormon, he's running to be president. But certainly, words matter. No argument about that. What people believe about the present and about the end time matters. 866-34-TRUTH. Adrian in Boston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, I'm calling. I really love your program, but I am Black, Afro-American. But I have been born again years ago, and it's just amazing to me that how many of our churches in the area where I live support President Obama because he is a Black man, or because they believe that he's going to do more for the poor. I know that no man, I look to Christ. Christ is the one who's going to give me and help me. He's always been there for me. I mean, I can understand the affinity, because really, you almost feel like you know a person, but you don't know a person, mm-hmm. actually. But you do have an affinity to your own race. There was something that I was very proud of, yes, that here is a Black man doing this. But
understandably, fully understood.
But when it comes down to who do you line up with? And I'll tell people, because I'm a hairdresser, so a lot of people come in and they just think, you know, we get our man in there again. And I'll say, no, he's not my man. And I did it one time. I voted for somebody because he was Black. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit bothered me so much, I told him I would never, ever do that again, because it's no longer I who live. I am supposed to represent what the things that are close and dear to my Savior's heart. And that's what it's about. It's about life. It's not about who we like. It's not, you know, I'm just totally amazed of the support that I see in the churches. That's what I'm amazed about. I can understand other people, but not our churches.
Yeah, I think, you know? Adrian... First, I've received calls from many Black listeners, and many have said, look, I voted for Mr. Obama the first time, but I can't the second time. And before he was in office, I just warned folks, based on his record, what we could mm-hmm. expect. And many, many didn't want to accept that. Now they've seen what he's done, because Black Christians have such a strong track record in terms of belief in family. Look, the African-American population, by and large, is more church-going and religious than the white American population, and mm-hmm. votes more strongly on issues, say, against redefining marriage and things like that, and recognizes the importance of life and family. And yet there's been sometimes a breakdown in terms of there's just affiliation with the Democratic Party, even though the Democratic Party stands against many of these values. So with President Obama doing what he's done, coming out in favor of redefining marriage, being so pro-abortion, the Democratic convention and platform being so radical in that respect, that many That's may right. not vote for Mitt Romney, but they're saying, I can't do that again. And I think, Adrian, what we all have to do is we have to look in the mirror. I'm a white Jewish American. You're an African-American uh-huh. woman. And look in the mirror and say, God, what strongholds do I have? What blind spots That's right. do I have? where is it? Because it's easy for me to say, how can certain people vote XYZ? I want to be challenged in my own life. In other words, I want to say, okay, let me look in the mirror. And I think if we all do that as followers of Jesus, then we could make some progress and say, okay, there's definitely some blind spots in the black churches. I'm sure there are blind spots in the white churches. So what can we do to overcome those? And especially, look, whatever happens a few hours from now with the elections, America 24 hours now is going to be as hotly divided as it has been in decades. Mm-hmm. We, as the followers of Jesus, Adrian, need to transcend that. And it's conversations like this that'll help us do it. Hey, keep being a witness on fire as a hairdresser. What a great place to talk. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. By the way, as I've gotten calls in the last few days, and we've talked about voting and voting our conscience, and again, my great emphasis is that voting is important. But it is far, far less important than how we live our lives. It is far less important than the daily decisions that we make in terms of our relationship with God, loving God with all of our heart, loving our neighbor as ourself. We've talked about these issues, and a few callers said, well, I can't vote for Mitt Romney. He's a liar. He was caught in the lie in his last debate. Well, I expect that if we listen to most politicians enough, we're going to catch them saying things in certain ways that are not entirely accurate. Unfortunately, often politicians will twist facts, etc. And of course, we have caught Mr. Obama in all too many lies, and I'm sure just go through the last few presidents, you'll catch them in a number of misrepresentations or inaccuracies or places where their positions changed. But just for the record, Mitt Romney was not caught in a lie about his position on the auto bailout. He was accused of lying, but he didn't. What he said in the debate was what he had previously written, and fact checks that very night verified that, and the next day verified that. So he was falsely accused of lying, and then I have people calling me and saying, well, I can't vote for him because he's a liar. Whether he's a liar or not, look at his entire track record, make your decision. Whether the president's a liar or not, look at his entire track record, make your decision. But that was just a false accusation. Isn't it wild how a false accusation can be made and it sticks just because of the person who makes it? It's something to consider, how easily we can just go along with a party line. Any of us. If you've not yet read my article, A Warning to Moral Conservatives, I'll share more of it with you in the next half hour. 866-34-TRUTH. Grace in St. Petersburg, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you so very much for taking my call this afternoon, sir.
You're welcome.
I am black myself, too, and I'm a little bit amazed at the fact that a lot of black people don't realize that it is a battle between good and evil, okay? I am a Christian myself, and I believe in standing on the side of that which is good and not that which is evil. And when I look at the platform, I see one platform acknowledging God in every aspect. Amen. And I see the other one not recommending God at any part of the aspect of life at all. And I'm going to be on God's side and try to reflect that in my living. Now, the black people who say that they are Christians and yet go over on the side where there is no mention of God in the platform, and there is no mention of God in the reflection of the life of the one who is running on that particular ticket, I don't get it. Yet they support him simply because he's a black man. Why not vote for a person because they have moral values, who have character, rather than someone who will just give them what they want? I don't get it. Maybe you can help me understand that one.
Yeah, Grace, I can. And may I ask if you have, is there more to your background ethnically than just a black American?
Well, I'm a black person.
Okay, no, I'm not disputing that. You seem to have an accent.
My name is Grace Milhouse. I guess because I have the same last name that President Richard Milhouse Nixon had, that makes me maybe to some affiliated with him. No.
No, I wasn't thinking the last name. No, you just seem to have an Asian accent. And I thought,
I don't know why I have the accent, but I had it ever since I was a girl.
Are you
ever
serious?
Since I was a little girl.
That is so fascinating. All right, I was just purely curious because people will be listening just like I'm listening. Interesting. You didn't grow up with folks who spoke with an Asian accent. Fascinating. Anyway, sorry for getting off track. So, Grace, let me say a few things.
Mm-hmm.
First, as a white evangelical myself, we often make the mistake of putting our trust in the Republican Party and in the Republican candidate for president. We get the vote out heavily. And then when the person is elected, they tend to moderate towards the middle and they disappoint us. They didn't take stands for the issues that we expected them to, or they didn't stand as strongly. So because of that, I wrote this warning to moral conservatives saying, if Mr. Romney is elected, as I expect he will be, let us not take our foot off the gas. Let us not stop standing for life and standing for family and on and on. That being said, there is a history. The black Americans used to be more affiliated with Republicans. If you remember, Abraham Lincoln was a Republican.
Right.
And something shifted at a certain point the last generation or so. It was Republican leaders who fought more for civil rights, as outrageous as that sounds to many. But there's a gut-level association, just like there is with the secular Jewish community, that you vote Democrat, that somehow the Democrat has more commitment to the underdog, that the Democrat is really standing for the poor, that the Democrats somehow have the best interest of the black community and mm-hmm. they're liberal, so they have the best interest of the Jewish community. And in point of fact, it's really a great deception in many ways. I'm not saying that the Republican Party is the answer, but I am saying that if you look, according to Congressman Alan West, himself a black leader, that if you look at the state of black America economically after 4 years with Mr. Obama as president, economically, black Americans are in far, far worse shape. Plus, many are deeply, deeply offended by the fact that he has taken the stance he has regarding abortion, regarding same-sex so-called marriage. And then you have a number of Jews, an increasing number, who are upset with the president's policies regarding Israel. So my hope, Grace, is that there will be awakening. All of us can have strongholds, as I said to an earlier caller. All of us can have blind spots and operate just based on force of habit. And what we have to do is transcend that. And especially, Grace, as followers of Jesus, we have to transcend that, and we have to say, okay, let me look at what really matters. As I said from the early days of Mr. Obama's presidency, race is not the issue. The issues are the issues. And let's look at them and then say, okay, based on issues, I can vote accordingly. Thank you for the call and sharing more of your background. I appreciate that. 866-34-TRUTH. I want to talk to you more about Jesus' revolution, talk to you more about the elections. We come back and more about my article, A Warning to Moral Conservatives. But friends, allow me to get into your hands two of the most important resources we have on revolution. Books you've got to read. One is 330 pages, Revolution, the Call of Holy War. One is 5,000 words, The Jesus Manifesto. The two together, just $10 postage paid, which means we're practically giving them away to get them to you. Call to order 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on this important election day. I voted today. I felt it was important to vote. Nancy and I went this morning and voted. And yet, I am not thinking to myself that my vote, even if it is for the victor, is the big, big thing that I am doing today. No, the bigger thing I did today, bigger than voting, was get on the air to talk to you. And then it'll be to go from here and teach a night school class. In fact, speak to our students this morning at chapel. You see, the way we live as followers of Jesus is even more important than who the president of the United States is, as important as that is. Thank you for joining me today, 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. I wrote an article. I strongly encourage you to read it. You can go to townhall.com and read it, or you can go to charismanews.com and click opinion. It's called A Warning to Moral Conservatives. Let me read the beginning and the end to you. If Rush Limbaugh, Karl Rove, Dick Morris, Michael Barone, and others are right, and Mitt Romney is our next president, we moral conservatives cannot take our foot off the gas. We cannot let up on our advocacy for life and family. We cannot relax or shift into neutral as if some great victory has already been won. To do so would be to make a fatal mistake. And 4 years from now, we'll be kicking ourselves again, vowing once more not to sell our souls to the Republican Party, claiming that this time we've learned our lesson, only to repeat the cycle 4 years hence. But being forewarned is being forequipped, and that negative scenario does not have to unfold. Instead, if we do our job and urge the president to do his, calling him to account at every point and offering positive support, whether he fails or succeeds, our mission will continue unabated. In fact, the more he fails, the more we will realize that the responsibility for moral and social change falls on us, not on him. I end the article by saying, so my vote is for Mitt Romney with some hope, with a lot of reservation, and without a lot of expectation, although I'd be absolutely delighted to have my reservations prove wrong. And what if Barack Obama is reelected? Then we would do well to avoid the trap of putting most of our energies into rebuking the president's latest transgressions. Instead, we'll have to focus our efforts like never before on fomenting a moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Come to think of it, that would be a sound course of action if Mitt Romney is our next president too. Can I count you in? The time for this kind of revolution, not a violent one, but an ideological, cultural one, is long overdue. And I, for one, am not waiting for the White House to make it happen. How about you? 866-34-TRUTH. My simple and fundamental thesis, before I get to your calls, my simple and fundamental thesis is that we must be, first and foremost, Great Commission Christians, Great Commission Messianic Jews, Great Commission followers of Jesus. That first and foremost, we must set our heart, our mind, our attention, our desire on knowing the Lord and making him known, and then living out the gospel in a way that impacts our world, that we are God's prophetic voice to the society, that we are the salt and the light, that we are the conscience of the society, in Dr. King's words, that the Sermon on the Mount is the ultimate counterculture manifesto, and that we do well to look at Jesus as a revolutionary leader, not simply a religious leader, but a revolutionary leader, but one who equips us with very different weapons, not the weapons of the world, not hatred, not anger, not intimidation, not violence, but the weapons of the Spirit, the weapons of love, the weapons of truth, the weapons of the Word, the weapons of the Gospel. And with those, we go out and change the world. Back with your calls.
Flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, one other word of exhortation and encouragement. I've said this again before, and I want to reiterate it. Don't let anyone play the race card with you. Whether you are black or white or Native American or Hispanic or Asian, don't let anyone play the race card on you. In other words, if you voted how you voted based on your moral and spiritual convictions, don't let anyone say, well, you voted for Barack Obama because you hate whites, or you voted for Mitt Romney because you hate blacks. Listen, don't demean yourself with a conversation like that. Just turn it around. Someone wants to accuse me of that. You know, you didn't vote for Barack Obama because you don't like blacks. I might as well tell them, well, you're criticizing me because you don't like Jews. I mean, come on. Let's step higher. I expect the world to do that. I expect racists on both sides to do that, or all sides, I should say. I don't expect God's people to do that. Let's step higher. 866-34-TRUTH. Steve in St. Petersburg, Florida. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hello there.
Hello.
How you doing?
Very well. How about you?
Good. Real good. I wanted to mention, I was going to hit on a couple of points. Abraham Lincoln. And actually, if Abraham Lincoln was running today, he would be considered too liberal for the Democrat Party, because he was really our first progressive president that believed in social justice. He wanted to eliminate states' rights, let alone not even getting to the issue of slavery and other things. And I believe when he was assassinated with Spielberg, hopefully he hits it out of the park with this new movie about to come out. Now, I wanted to address issues of prioritization of certain sins in the age that we live in today. Mm-hmm. And one thing, like, you know, it's not the issue is abortion and gay marriage wrong or sin. It is. But the issue is adultery, is fornication, witchcraft, necromancy, soothsaying, and palm reading, which I haven't heard the right even talk about that. So my point is, if you look at Mitt Romney in the essence of the religion, and it ties in, because I believe the president of the United States is a very spiritual position that he has. And if you look at the president and the decisions that the president has to make, and you look at where he is at spiritually, now, mm-hmm. if we sit there and take certain issues against the president on certain sins, just like during the earthly mystery of Christ to Israel, when they accused him of having unwashed hands and eating picking corn, or the famous story.
Hang on, just a quick question. Are you equating killing of babies in the womb, shedding of innocent blood, with eating with unwashed hands?
No, I'm equating that people that steal money on Wall Street and cheat on their taxes and complain that their government's too big is just as guilty as a homosexual or someone that aborts babies. Sin is sin.
Okay, so I didn't get the comparison then about the unwashed hands.
Well, no, the sin, what I'm trying to tell you is, if you start prioritizing sin, you have Catholicism. In the right wing, an evil work.
But Steve, doesn't the Bible prioritize sin?
In other words, didn't sin is sin. Under the law.
No, hang on.
All right, go ahead.
All right, just tell me where it changed. Jesus says,
with the dispensation of grace and the rising up of the Apostle Paul.
Okay. All right. Well, then you're going to have to throw out Jesus.
I want you to get on Steve. The air and say this. You think that homosexuality and gay marriage is worse than
Steve, hang on. No, I didn't say that.
Everybody on the right does, and basically...
Who's everybody on... Wait. Hang on. I have for decades preached about sexual purity. I have for decades written and preached about the importance of these things. I am on record numerous times publicly saying that no-fault heterosexual divorce in the church has done more to destroy marriage than all gay activists combined. Okay, I'm on record having said that. I have apologized to the homosexual community for the hypocrisy of the church. I also know that there are things that God takes with tremendous seriousness. For example, the abuse of children. Jesus explicitly says that if anyone causes one of these little ones to stumble, that their angels in heaven are looking at the Father, that Jesus himself said that there are certain things that we should have practiced when he rebukes the religious leaders. He said you should not have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness.
But what I wanted to get back to on abortion and gay marriage, if you were living in 1933 when Hitler became chancellor and abortion was legal, when Hitler came to power, abortion was made completely illegal and jailed by death because Hitler needed more population. Now, homosexuals were actually, and I'm not defending homosexuality, let me make this clear, but homosexuals were actually jailed and put into concentration camps with the Jews. Now, would somebody today that's voting for Mitt Romney, who is in the most satanic cult in the history of the United States, would they have voted for Adolf Hitler in 1933 because of his stand on abortion and gay marriage?
Ah, but Steve, you just prioritize sins.
No, I'm trying to go back.
First thing is Hitler had made his views clear.
As usual.
Steve, listen. I'm not going to take time to talk to you on the air to have you make false accusations. The problem is when I give you scripture, sir, you ignore it because it does not fit into your theological paradigm. So if you can have a conversation with me without...
Would you have voted for Adolf Hitler in Nazi Germany?
Of course not. All right, tell you what.
You're voting for Romney, who's in one of the most sadistic cults in the history of the United States.
Steve, I had to have a little chat with another caller earlier. You need to learn to listen, sir. Adolf Hitler had made his views very clear about some radical policies, including his views on the Jews. And anyone who voted for him made a grave mistake because they didn't listen to him. We have had presidents who have been Unitarians. We have had presidents who have had all kinds of weird beliefs. I am voting for Romney. I did this morning with reservation and with concern. If you differ with me over that, fine. I have no issue with a Christian saying I cannot vote for Barack Obama because there's blood on his hands and there'll be blood on mine. I cannot vote for Mitt Romney because he's a Mormon. I have no argument with that. But you just prioritize sins by saying, well, if you believe this or that, that's worse. And I assume you weren't saying we should vote for Barack Obama. I guess sit out the election, a third-party candidate. But I think you got caught up in your words. You first said it's the most satanic cult, then you said it's the most sadistic cult, and of course you compared it to Adolf Hitler, Nazi Germany. So you may just want to weigh your words more carefully, and don't throw out the rest of the Bible, because Paul didn't. Paul told us that what was written in the Old Testament was for our benefit. In fact, that's the only Bible that Paul had. All right, thank you, sir, for the call. Maybe go back online later today, listen to it, and see if you can learn and grow from it. Fair enough? 866-34-TRUTH. Vera in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, hold on. Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you doing? Can you hear me?
Fine. Yes, I can.
Great. I called in about 10 minutes ago on the tail end of a conversation, so I only caught the ending of it. And I listen to your program on a regular basis, and I definitely had some questions and concerns that I want to voice as well.
Please.
My one concern is this, and you just brought it up. I mean, we as Christians are followers of Jesus Christ, and we
yes.
believe as the Lord is our Savior
mm-hmm.
and the Son of God. Now, my question to you is this. As far as moral and spiritual belief, which is the greatest sin? Saying, acknowledging to the world that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God and not the Lord and Savior of the world? Because that's what Mormons believe.
Of course, they wouldn't say that, but if you dig deeper... Sure.
Well, that's what
right.
they
that's,
believe.
That's right, that's heresy. Right, it's
at
a cult.
At the end of the day.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that's their belief. And so, yes, I know Barack Obama has basically given be okay, it's okay for, you know, gay marriages.
And he's used the teachings of Jesus to justify it. And then he's thrown out other parts of the Bible. Right.
I don't know about that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He has. No, his exact quote in May was, based on Jesus' teaching to love one another and based on the example of the sacrifice of Christ, that we should now accept same-sex marriage. So tell you what, I'm going to answer your question, but stay there, and we'll continue on the other side of the break. But let me answer your question. They're both horrific. They're both abominable. However, Mr. Romney is not governing on those religious beliefs. Mr. Obama is. That's what I'm asking. That's what I'm looking at. How are they governing?
Fire we want, for fire we please.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let me go straight back to the phones. Vera in Chapel Hill. Our phone lines are jammed. I want to get to a few more callers, but please, just wanted to let you get the last word in on the point you were making.
Okay, and that was basically which the question was, which is greater of the sin? Basically saying that the Lord is not the Son of God and the Savior of the world, or gay marriage rights as well as abortion. I believe that we all have to account for our sins, you know, come Judgment Day.
Mm-hmm.
I myself, as a young youth, teenager, I had an abortion because my parents felt like it was, you know, I was too young.
Yeah.
And I did too at that point in time. And that's something that I had to go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness.
Of course.
I do have my thoughts on, gay marriage and abortion. I believe marriage is between a man and a woman. But then it comes down to, well, which is the greater of the sin? And I believe to not acknowledge the Lord as our Lord and Savior and Son of God Almighty is the greater sin.
Yeah, well, Vera, first, I'm so glad that you found restoration and forgiveness in the Lord. And I know that many women have had abortions, feel the weight of that for years and the grief of it. And of course, it is something that God forgives as we come in repentance. The points that I would emphasize, though, are two. Number one, scripturally, you'll see false prophets rebuked who led Israel after other gods. And you'll find false prophets rebuked who used Yahweh's name and led Israel to live wrongly. So in that sense, they're both equally abominable. The other thing is, although I'm no defender of Mitt Romney, I have my questions and concerns. As his track record in governing thus far, he has never governed as a Mormon, to my knowledge. In other words, as the governor of Massachusetts, he did not bring Mormonism into his governing any more than his father brought Mormonism into governing Michigan. Now, if someone wants to correct me on that, please go ahead and do it. Now, I question his stance on family and morality and in certain ways how he'll really govern, which is why I say we've got to do what's right. But I could not in conscience possibly vote for Barack Obama lest I be complicit in the ungodly stance he has taken. And with reservation, I voted for Mitt Romney. However, I respect those who say I couldn't vote for him because he's a Mormon. So we just leave it there. But thank you for the call. I appreciate it. That's why we have Live Talk Radio to talk these issues through. 866-34-TRUTH. Diane in Atlanta. All right, we've lost Diane in Atlanta. Let me go to Fred in Bradenton, Florida. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. I enjoy your thought-provoking program. Look, I'd like to just go point blank and ask you, is it possible for a biblical Christian to vote for Barack Obama?
It is possible, but
I believe
it's possible, but it's a serious error. Let me say that we have blind spots and that we are all products of our culture. And sometimes people have just not thought issues through or come to right convictions on them. because of which they can be true followers of Jesus and make serious mistakes in who they vote for. I would absolutely not condemn someone to hell or say that they can't possibly be saved if they voted for Barack Obama. I say we can't possibly do the right thing and vote for him because of these stands. Now, again, I respect those who say I couldn't vote for Mitt Romney because he's a Mormon. Some would say, yeah, abortion is bad, but Mitt Romney has a checkered past on that. And it's worse that we're killing people in different wars and we don't have health care. And who's the better candidate on that? So I say it's a grave error for a Christian to vote for any pro-abortion, pro-gay activist candidate. And of course, Mr. Obama has sadly distinguished himself as the most radical president in that regard. But I would in no way question someone's salvation or relationship with the Lord over that any more than I would allow someone to question my relationship with God in voting for a Mormon, as divisive and passionate as these issues have become. So that's my straight out answer. I say it's absolutely wrong, but absolutely there are brothers and sisters who will vote for Mr. Obama, and we will differ over that. 866-34-TRUTH. Mary Ann in Exton, Pennsylvania, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. We're a little short on time, so please dive right in.
Hi. I'm just letting you know, I've been sharing with my friends, I'm a Christian, I'm practicing Christian, and, you know, there are some things that are declared black and white in the Bible. It's abortion is killing. It's in the Ten Commandments, so it's clear. We should abide with that. And the other one is it's gay marriage. You know, even animals know, like male and female, they know that, you know, they're in, the one in pairs. So basically, I used to be a liberal, but my Bible beliefs come in first.
Yeah, so, and Marianne, the fact is, God does care about many, many different issues. We understand that. We agree with that. And there are some issues where liberals have a better perspective than conservatives. But the bottom line is, when you talk about the innocent, when you talk about the shedding of innocent blood, that is very, very high on the list. And that has never changed in terms of how God feels. And it does affect how we look at life in general. And then when we tamper with the foundations of society, namely marriage and male-female roles, it doesn't mean that we don't have compassion on those who struggle. It doesn't mean that we don't have compassion on those who are gender confused or have same-sex attraction. We tell them there is a better way, but we do not redefine marriage and society. Otherwise, it's a tremendous mess. And then we recognize that gay activism, talking about gay activism is the principal threat to freedom of conscience, freedom of speech, freedom of religion in America. And therefore, we must take stands on those issues, and we should vote accordingly. Not the only issues, but very important ones. Thank you, Marianne, for the call. All right, friends, we can keep talking about these issues tomorrow in the aftermath of who is elected as our next president. We will keep a biblical perspective. Everyone listening, pick up the phone right now if you can and call 1-800-278-9978. We're practically giving away the two most important resources that I have to get in your hands on the subject of revolution. The book, Revolution, The Call of Holy War, and the mini book, Jesus Manifesto. These are the two most fundamental. $10 postage paid, so we're practically giving them away to get them to you because it's so important. You get these books, your heart will burn as you read. Your devotion to Jesus will go deeper. Your sense of calling to touch this world will increase. 1-800-278-9978. If you can help with an additional gift, that's wonderful. But please call 1-800-278-9978 so we can get these in your hands and so that your life can be revolutionized and you can be a force for Jesus in this world. My bottom line today, 24 hours from now, we'll have a new president. But 24 hours from now, the kingdom of God will be advancing just as it always has. Align yourself